Good morning, everyone. Well, if your cell phone is on, the network knows where you are. And courtesy of Global Positioning System satellites, anyone can find out where you are. Your girlfriend, your boss. May sound a little frightening. It can be. We're going to find out. But some people use it actually to socialize, get around. There are applications you can load onto your cell phone that keep track of your friends. So what do you think tracking people might do to help out in your life? Keep tabs on your teenager, your friends, if they're lost. Let us know what you want GPS phones or any other application doing for you. Tell us your ideas at 8778-MYTAKE or mytake at thetakeaway.org.
I'm Daljit Dhaliwal, standing in for Adora Udoji. Sounds a little spooky to me, John.
What, standing in for Adora Udoji?
No, the whole thing about someone keeping tabs on my movements and who I'm talking to.
I loaded the application yesterday. It is a little bit spooky, but it's kind of, you know, it's kind of fun too, but like a lot of things on your cell phone.
Well, one of the people that we're keeping tabs on is Hillary Clinton. She, of course, has made her first overseas trip to Asia as Secretary of State. And she says that she is looking to Asia to help it tackle some of the world's most pressing issues. She started out in Japan, where she's going to talk about climate change, Afghanistan, and the thorny nuclear issue. From there, it's on to Indonesia, South Korea, and the economic powerhouse of China. The BBC State Department correspondent Kim Gattis is traveling with Mrs. Clinton. She joins us from Tokyo. Hello to you, Kim.
Good evening.
I want to get to the nuts and bolts of what exactly it is that she is and isn't going to talk about and what the chances are of kind of achieving success in those fronts. But let's talk first of all about the overall thrust of the Obama administration's policy towards Asia.
Well, I think what this visit shows is that the new U.S. administration in Washington is very keen to engage with the world, not only with its traditional partners across the Atlantic, but also engage again forcefully with its partners across the Pacific. Hillary Clinton, in an interview with the BBC before she left, told me that, you know, America was not just a transatlantic power, but a trans-Pacific power. And she's keeping an eye on the long term, and so is President Barack Obama. And while there may be pressing issues to deal with in the Middle East or in Afghanistan, in Iraq, there are also long-term problems that need to be dealt with, and dealing with them needs to start now. And those problems are the global economic crisis, climate change, and some of the solutions to those problems lie in Asia. And that's why cooperation with countries like Japan and China is so essential. And that's why Hillary Clinton has chosen Asia as her first destination for her first foreign trip. And she's come to Tokyo, of course, on the first stop. It's the first time ever that a Secretary of State chooses Tokyo for a first stop, on a first foreign trip. So a lot of history being made here. But she was very keen to emphasize the strong, vital relationship between the United States and Japan. She called it vital. She used the word cornerstone. But of course, China, the last stop in this trip, is really at the heart of this visit in Asia.
So what kind of reassurances were the Japanese public looking for, and did they get what they wanted?
Well, I think the mere fact that she chose Tokyo as a first stop was already reassurance enough. The Japanese were a bit worried that they would be neglected under an Obama administration. They were very much aware that President Barack Obama had a lot of other pressing concerns. They'd had a good relationship with the U.S. under President Bush, and they were a bit worried about being left out. And there's also, of course, analysts say that Japan, if it wants to play a bigger role, has to get involved more. So they're very reassured and very happy to see Hillary Clinton arrive in Tokyo. She had very warm words for the Japanese. And of course, today they're incredibly pleased to hear that their Prime Minister, Taro Aso, will be the first foreign leader to visit Barack Obama in the White House. He'll be there next week, the first foreign leader to visit the American president. It shows the emphasis that the United States is putting on its ties with Asia. It is reassurance for Japan, even though it might be a little bit symbolic, because, of course, the Prime Minister is facing difficult times in Japan, and he may not be around much longer. But certainly it is reassurance for Japan in general that its relationship with Washington remains very important for Washington.
And let's talk about the thorny issue of North Korea's nuclear program. What kind of policy changes, if any, can we expect there in terms of how Washington hopes to engage Pyongyang? And talk a little bit also about the role of the regional countries there, especially Japan? Do they want to change what kind of role that they have in these six-party talks, and also China as well?
North Korea is indeed at the center of a lot of the talks that she's had and that she's going to be having in her next stops. And of course, this all comes amid reports that North Korea is planning to launch a long-range missile. So there's a lot of saber rattling, and people will say that this is Pyongyang's way to attract Washington's attention. There isn't really a change of policy, even though a lot of the details aren't exactly fleshed out yet. Whenever you ask a question to members of the new U.S. administration at the State Department, they'll say, well, policies are under review. They'll give you a general statement and then say, you know, the policy's under review and we'll get back to you with more details. But on North Korea, it seems that there is, to some extent, a lot of continuity. They're going to continue cooperating with the members of the six-party talks, as it's known, and this includes Russia, China, Japan, South Korea, the United States, and North Korea itself. They want to continue close cooperation with those. They believe that this is the way forward to pressure Pyongyang to deliver on the promises that it has made to denuclearize. And Hillary Clinton had a very stern warning for North Korea. It warned North Korea not to take any provocative action. She said Washington is watching very closely. She also, to some extent, extended a hand to North Korea and said, you have a lot to gain if you abide by those promises. We can promise you aid, we can promise you peace treaty, we can promise you normal relations with Washington, but the onus is really on Pyongyang. She didn't quite spell out what would happen if Pyongyang launched that missile or didn't abide by its promises, but it is certainly a stern warning there from Washington that it also remains committed to the denuclearization of the Korean peninsula.
Okay.
When it comes to...
Sorry, Kim, we've got to leave it there. Thank you very much for joining us. The BBC's Kim Gattis in Tokyo.
Since WNYC's first broadcast in 1924, we've been dedicated to creating the kind of content we know the world needs. Since then, New York Public Radio's rigorous journalism has gone on to win a Peabody Award and a DuPont Columbia Award, among others. In addition to this award-winning reporting, your sponsorship also supports inspiring storytelling and extraordinary music that is free and accessible to all. To get in touch and find out more, visit sponsorship.wnyc.org.